Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished professional from India, Mr. Aditya Singh. Aditya, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashutosh.
Aditya is the head of international business for jewelry of Titan Company Limited. He started with the Tata Administrative Service. He was earlier with Moblan and he's an angel investor. So Aditya, let me start by asking you, you worked in a very distinct set of industries and geographies. Tell me about your own journey in brief.
Perfect. Thanks, Ashutosh, for starting with that question. Was it, so actually today what I am doing in terms of international business and jewelry combination, and when I'm interacting with anybody and tell them that I am a graduate in agriculture.
Wow. So
people do take a wonder. But that's been my start. I did my graduation in agriculture from G.B. Pant University, Pantnagar.
Yeah.
And I think the roots which got laid there, it's India's first agriculture university. It's been awarded as the number one university so many times.
Yeah.
So the roots in terms of the discipline, the way of thinking, the ability to explore and all got laid down there. But I did my MBA from Xavier's Bhuvaneshwar post that and joined the Tata Group. I started working with Tata Chemicals in the crop nutrition division. Until that point, I was still very connected to what I did in graduation and what I learned in my MBA days. But post that, I got absorbed into this program called TAS, which you did mentioned about. It's a Tata Group's leadership development program. And from there, the direction kind of changed. So I mean, under that program, I traveled through the various locations of the group, did multiple projects, including one of my favorite, where I was in South Africa for a couple of months, laying the foundation for the strategic sourcing division for a newly acquired company.
Wow.
And came back, joined Tata Teleservices, purely technical. And I was initially wondering what would I really do there, but worked out well and took that connect of international exposure and telecom to join TCS thereafter. Worked in Europe a couple of years. I was leading the business development in the North Europe. I was based out of Stockholm at that point of time. And just out of a friendly conversation with a colleague who was working in Titan, once I was on a holiday in Pune and I was happening to talk to him, Titan happened. Like I was talking to him, he scheduled an interview and then discussion flowed through. And it's been now, I think, 9 years now I have been with Titan.
Amazing.
And every day feels like a new day.
Absolutely.
The reason being, I think in between, Titan signed this joint venture with Moblan Germany. And I was like employee number two in that joint venture. So that spirit of entrepreneurship, that you are part of a larger organization, but you are setting something from scratch.
Well said. Well said. So I think let's talk about Titan. I mean, Titan was very, very well known, or is very well known, for their incredible watches. And, you know, they came in at a time when HMT was just going out of fashion, so to speak. And then they went into jewelry. So my first question to you is, what goes into building a successful brand for jewelry in international markets?
Oh, wow. That question is really close to my heart because that's my day in, day out job. So I think jewelry market, if you look at the international market, it's a very competitive market. There are always, in go to any country, there will always be certain players which are from that country. Then in recent past, there are a lot of Indian players who are like the big chains. They have started going out to certain countries. So that's the second set of players. And third set is typically the pretty well-known luxury groups from the West, which are also there. So it's always a combination of these three set of players, the locals, the Indian players, and the Western players. And you have to find your niche within that. So I would say actually to build a successful brand, and not necessarily in jewelry, any kind of brand in any international market, I think it's a matter of around five things, I would say. First is to really read the macroeconomic trends well. Sometimes I'm like, we as a business set of people, I'm like, we really get excited by saying, okay, this country seems to be doing well for all sectors.
Correct.
And then you jump in without really going into the depth of that sector and that country. So I think the first point is around the macroeconomic trend study. And an associated point is the culture study. Sometimes the culture of that country might be very, very different from what we are used to. Unless we understand that culture, how and why people buy that category in that country, we won't be successful.
Amazing.
Second is, I think, to identify, because there would be so many variety of customer segments in any country you go to, identifying the core TG for yourself. And within that category, whether you are targeting the millennials, or Gen X, or what kind of people are you looking for, male, female, everything. Third, I think for me, at least the success mantra has been more around building a team which believes in the vision that we have set up. Once we have built a great team who is living and breathing the ethos of the company, they will take forward the journey. Then the work becomes much easier.
Very interesting.
Fourth element of building a brand for me is always building a successful partner ecosystem in the country. It could be the biggest of partner in form of somebody who is helping us liaison with the government, or it could be the smallest of vendor who is just supplying flowers for the store. But building a set of partner ecosystem which is out there to support you, who believes in what you are doing, and who wants to grow along with you.
Interesting. And yet, Aditya, you know, when it comes to jewelry, jewelry has a very significant element of trust. Now, the Tata Group doesn't need to any introductions, and therefore there is an inherent trust established with the group. But when it comes to jewelry, the Indian consumer, I've seen this with my wife, and I used to see it with my mother. You always want to go to a jeweler who your family has been going to. How has Titan managed to break this so-called myth of going only to a family jeweler?
You know, I mean, I think you understand the jewelry sector very well, Ashutosh. You're right, very right. I'm like, traditionally in India, the market was purely based on going to your traditional family jeweler. So when Titan entered into this space, I think what we did well was to study why people go to traditional jeweler. So what are the elements? So first, that jeweler understands you and your family very well. They understand the tastes of every member. They understand your family occasions. They understand whether you like gold, you like diamonds, and within the color stones, what suits you and everything, he understands. Now, all this in modern parlance is CRM system. If you are able to build a robust CRM system which captures all this information, I'm like, you can replicate that. Second, I think with traditional jeweler, what happens? There are services associated. If you don't have money right now, it's okay. You take it. I'll collect it later from you.
Absolutely.
That kind of services. Now, when we entered, we built a plethora of services around. And I think the biggest ability that we were able to bring in was, today in India, we have 400 plus stores. And we already have, in the last 2 years of international expansion, we have 6 stores already. So, and you can buy from one, go and exchange, avail services in the third, all seamless. So that services for today's generation, which is very mobile. Like, I was born in Uttarakhand. I worked across in India, multiple cities like Delhi and Bangalore and Pune and Calcutta and Gujarat. And like, for me, I need whatever I have bought in one location, can that be serviced in my another location?
Correct.
So that service gets available to the current generation. And I think time to time, we have come up with the things like, for example, when we introduced carat meter in the store, saying you can bring any of your old gold, test it, how pure it is. So you might have bought from, and we are not saying that your person from whom you bought was bad. Right? But you test it. If he has sold it to you as a 22 carat, is it actually 22 carat? And test it scientifically. So I think all those steps have really, really helped us
Very interesting.
come closer to the customers of today.
Well said. Great response. Thank you. Aditya, you also speak a lot about customer experience. And CX, as it is referred to, is expected to be almost a $1 trillion business in the next 5 to 7 years in India. I want to understand from you your own perspective of customer experience as a differentiator in the markets.
So customer experience, actually, I have been a great follower and I think if I relate to your first question, I have moved sectors, right? I moved from being in a fertilizer to a IT to now jewelry.
Yeah.
I think one stream which I have kind of kept as the central thread in this set of pearls, if I were to say, central thread has been the focus on customer experience. And my philosophy around customer experiences are actually is a 5 to 6 step of maturity, right? At the first step, any company, what they can offer really is a warranty guarantee services. I've sold you a watch. Does it have a warranty? What happens if anything goes wrong? Second is the level of companies set up the complaint management system, right? Can I log a complaint and can that complaint get addressed? That's the second level. Third level is when companies started offering, let's say, loyalty programs. Say, okay, if you are a registered member, you will get X points and Y points. Fair enough. Fourth level, what I say is, when you start to personalize the service, saying I have a great CRM system, I understand you well, and because you have purchased with me 6 times in last 6 months versus somebody else have purchased an equal value but in one shot in last 6 months, my treatment is it differentiated from you to you? So that level of analytics, so when you start mixing analytics with it, I think that's the next level. And for final level for me, which I always keep on telling my team and associates we are trying to pursue, is to reach the level of care. And care here is when the customer start caring for you and you care for customer beyond the transaction that you are doing. Then you have reached that sixth maturity level.
Fascinating.
Customer experience.
Fascinating. You know, the other aspect I wanted to check with you, given your own background in technology and branding, etc., the whole world is moving into the sphere of digital marketing, the metaverse. How are you in Titan and brands in general connecting with the consumer in this entire digital universe?
Great subject. I think it's all around digital space. See, in fact, I personally have been very curious about the whole metaverse space as well. I'll come to digital later because that's a larger umbrella term.
Yeah, yeah.
But specifically to metaverse, I think I started exploring that phase and almost a year and a half back. And what I realized is that space today is very, very small. There is no commerce really happening there. I'm like, it is happening, but to a very minuscule level. It's more of a experience, it's more of connecting with the youth of today.
Correct.
But are there enough, from a brand, from a retailer perspective, are there enough customers and not the logins who are there so that I can actually take my brand there?
Correct.
So right now at Titan and at Tanishq, what we have taken as an approach for metaverse alone is that we want, so a lot of people are trying these virtual weddings in metaverse, right? We said, we'll create that virtual wedding space for you. So you want to do wedding in one location, your relatives are spread across the globe, all can log in into that metaverse. And so, and the associated setup is what we are exploring right now. And at the same time, we continue to speak to various technology providers, right from the global giants to the smallest of the startups, saying what's really happening in this space. In fact, in Titan, we have this small culture of time to time, we invite the startups to talk to us saying, are you willing to, let's say, experiment with us? We might start small. We might start as a pilot in one division, in one city, in one location. And let's say if it works, I'm like, so within Titan, we have watches, eyewear, jewelry, different categories. This, the scope for any partner is immense. But then they need to prove that, yes, their model works. And coming to the overall, I think the digital area, so we don't treat it as digital that you need to do go digital for the sake of it. Digital had to solve some problem in the system, whether it is helping you reduce certain lead time, whether it is helping you serve the customer better, whether it is enhancing customer experience, what issue is that solving? And not just because we have to upgrade. So
That's
that approach is very different.
very interesting. Very interesting. So I think that I'm going to now move to another segment of our conversation. You know, for you as an angel investor, what are some of the key metrics you look for before you decide to make an investment?
Well, I've started on this journey of angel investment, I think 4 or 5 years back, and I started with a very, very small fashion. But over the years, one principle that has stayed for with me is I don't really go behind metrics of the business. And typically, at the angel investment stage, the business is either at an ideation stage or in a pilot phase. It is just getting started. So to measure, either you will see a very, very 200% growth, 400% growth month on month, which is meaningless. I'm like, your base is so small. So typically, what I look for is the founder. What is the credibility of that founder, the passion of that founder? Is that founder, when I talk to them, is that founder in it for creating a brand and possibly selling it in 2 years? Or is the person there to, let's say, believing in the vision of that brand, saying, I want to build. I'm like, it could be the smallest of, for example, one of the parties or one of the investments that I have. So I knew the person at least from 5, 6 years before, just following what they have been sent, trying to do. But then when I invested and I spoke to them, they were trying to make banking easier for the micro entrepreneur. So if somebody is having a pawn shop, right, to that level of micro entrepreneur, he doesn't have anything to mortgage to the typical banks. How
Correct.
does he source funds? So I looked at the credibility of the founders rather than looking at any metrics, and they've been doing phenomenally well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And based on all your interactions with so many startup entrepreneurs, what, in your opinion, are some of the key challenges a lot of founders face?
Oh, actually, that's an interesting one. In fact, right now I'm on the board of a couple of social enterprises and not in the commercial enterprise space. But based on my interactions, I think somewhere the entrepreneurs kind of start deviating away from the vision with which they started, right? When they were two, three people, when they were putting things on the drawing board, they fizzle away from there. Some point of time, they start chasing one key metric. Why? Because they met some marquee investor, and that investor asked a question around, what are you doing about this metric?
Correct.
And their focus just shifts there without realizing in their business, do they really need that metrics? I'm like, so the deviation from vision is, I think, the big, single biggest challenge that I see. Those who are able to stick to it, I'm like, are doing much better in my, let's say, set of investments that I have seen.
Very interesting. And also, you know, given the conversation we've had for the last 20 odd minutes, I would think entrepreneurs who are driven more by value, creating value rather than valuation, is someone who you would probably look
Absolutely,
at very differently.
absolutely.
Because that's what I'm hearing from you in all the conversation we've had so far. Aditya, let me now move to another aspect of your work that you do, which is volunteering. And you just mentioned you sit on the boards of a few social sector enterprises. Share with me why, what kind of volunteering you're doing, and why are you doing this?
See, volunteering, I kind of got into the space of volunteering, I think somewhere back in 2014, if I'm not wrong. And my starting or the initiation point was the startup group program called as Pro Engage, right? Which till before that, I have only heard of volunteering saying, oh, shramdan, as we say in Hindi, that you have to go and spend some hours doing something. That was the first program where I said, See, there are a few organizations out there who need your professional expertise. So if you are a marketeer, somebody out there needs a marketing understanding. Right? If you are a somebody who builds a website, somebody out there needs website building. And the ProEngage platform was for the employees of Tata Group, but it connected on one side a lot of NGOs and a lot of other side, the people's departments and functions and expertise, and they mapped. And the best part was the NGO got to choose who they want to work with. It was not like five volunteers sent in a van to spend 1 hour. And that changed the whole perspective, saying, by God's grace, I have been fortunate that I have went to a great university, a great institute, have worked with some good companies, have gained certain experience. But if I can give back to societies for people who does not have necessarily the means to hire the resource full time, but are in need of the expertise that I have. So that was my initiation point. But since then, I have been actively and very regularly engaged. And I engage in this professional space. So my primary area of engagement has been helping organizations, the NGOs. Typically, I work with grassroots level NGOs, put together a strategy roadmap for them.
Okay.
I think my single biggest achievement was once one organization set up a challenge. This was based out of Karnataka in India, in Bangalore. 27 NGOs, small NGOs from small districts together. Think, can you take all of them together for a strategy roadmap session? I said, it doesn't work like this. Strategy is personalized to each organization.
Correct.
But that was their requirement. So I tuned it so that at the end, and my objective was simple. At the end of, and I said, it can't happen in one session. It has to be a series of sessions. But what I promise is at the end of those series of sessions, what you will have is something, even if it is just a five pager, which you can proudly take to any of your donors, to employees, to any stakeholders, saying, this is what our strategy for next 5 years
is. Right. Very interesting.
We have been doing that. Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I'm now coming to my last question, Aditya. And this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey, you know, from agriculture to technology to marketing to doing so much work with startups to social sector, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from our conversation?
Thanks. Thanks, first of all, for this opportunity to share this particular point. See, first and foremost, I think you did talked about it already, values, right? I would say whatever sector, whatever seniority, and whatever part of the world you are, never compromise on your values and principles.
Yeah.
Second, I would say is never stop exploring yourself. You don't know what your limits are. Until and we fear so many times, like taking up newer challenges, newer assignments. I'm like a classic case, if I can probably borrow 30 seconds more.
Yeah, of course.
One of my, let's say, friends who I play regularly weekend squash with, he recently approached and said, listen, I have been doing merchandising all my life. And I've done it across category. But now my manager is asking me and giving me a task of turning around 5 stores. And I am unsure what if I fail in that. So I said, see, if you don't take this up, you will continue to do merchandising. And I'm not saying you are not excelling in it. Probably you will excel in it. But here is an opportunity to test out yourself. Worst case, it will fail. Like it, you will not be able to turn around. But you will still have some learnings of why it failed. Best case, you will be able to turn it around. And that will be great for the company, great for you. Now, for your future journey, you will have two things to explore, merchandising or business turnarounds.
Well said. Well said.
So this is two things. And final thing I would say is, and it's an often said thing, but I'm still repeating, being close to the family, like work will happen. It will continue to happen.
Yeah. Right?
And this I am saying because I am seeing a lot of youngsters moving away from families, spending a lot of time purely at work, just to prove that I am better within my circle of friends or within my batch or whatever, whatever that comparison group is, where the family is suffering. ultimately, I think the COVID did taught this lesson to everybody across, saying, who are you doing this for? Right? Ultimately, if your family is not there with you. So, I mean, these would be some two, three things.
That's
no
fabulous.
Management
That's
gyan here.
Fabulous.
But...
And I know on that note, Aditya, and your three wonderful lessons, values are very critical. Never compromise on your values. Never stop exploring yourself. Thank you for the great example you gave me of your friend. And third one, which you said is so critical, is always be close to the family. Thank you for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me about branding, about how you're building Titan, Tanishq, and all the other brands within the Titan umbrella into global brands. Thank you also for speaking to me about angel investing and all the great work you're doing in volunteering. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for inviting me over for this discussion. Loved it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.